But I wanted to turn the tables and ask you a question.
Okay.
And it relates to this question of panopticism, or for me it does, and I wanted to explore it a bit with you. And in an essay you wrote within the last few months, you had a footnote that talked about, I want to say it was a Chinese concept of network, although I don't know if it was the word network, but basically you translated the word into two symbols, and one of the symbols stood for touch or hand. Does that ring any bells?
This I only gained from doing a very quick sort of breakdown of the etymology of the word, and this I, because I am definitely by no means an expert in you know, Chinese etymology, but the roots of the character kong from kongzhi, which means control, come from two characters which mean hand and space. And so what was very interesting for me about that, as opposed to a sort of Western concept of control, which very often insinuates something as in controlling over. And I use this in that particular paper in reference to this juxtaposition or this contrast between Gelassenheit and control. And thinking about control not as a controlling over, but in terms of a flow. Control in terms of like, for example, the way a hand moves through space. And I think this is a very important concept in terms of, like, a Chinese sense of body. And if you look at Chinese sports, for example, I mean, this, what was it, that competitive sports didn't enter China until, you know, the modern era, and that Chinese physicality is all about this idea of control, not in a sense of controlling over the body, but in sense of, like, the way that the body flows, the way that blood or qi flows through the body. And I think this gets very often interpreted in a Western sense of restriction within. But that I can imagine actually goes much towards something more along the lines of the panhaptic space that you're talking about. You know, it's a different way of negotiating somehow one's relationship to the outside, to the network, to space, to one's body. And this is why I see in contemporary Chinese society that those two things, control in a Western sense, which can be looked at from, you know, our metaphorical, this is as per Mr. Mutant Palm, like the firewall being seen as an iron curtain, kind of like look at, oh my God, the control of the communist country versus the, you know, the crazy flows of like capitalist production. Why can these two things coexist in Chinese society? It seems so paradoxical, right? But somehow it does. And you see this happening on very small scales in everyday society here, right? I'm still trying to figure this out very much. What you could enlighten me about as far as that goes is I'd be very interested to hear.
I think you'd be interested in Manuel de Landa on this question. But Manuel de Landa with always keeping a sense of that Chinese understanding of control in the back of your mind or in the front of your mind. Because basically in his books, War and the Age of Intelligent Machines, but more particularly Thousand Years of Nonlinear History, and then Assemblage Theory, a New Philosophy of Society, he makes explicit in all those cases that if you want to call it striated smooth spaces or hierarchies versus networks, or, you know, sort of the strata, the strata of society versus, you know, mesh-like structures. They're ideal types, and really they exist in, you know, in combination or admixture with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And one is always sort of merging into another one or intersecting or however. I mean, these connections take place. And so what's interesting about Delanda then, starting from that point of, you know, hierarchies and networks, are these sort of ideal types that exist with one another, coexist, but at various levels of assembly. Okay? So he is looking at literally, you know, things on a very molecular or micro scale,
mm-hmm.
all the way up to very macro social processes, and how at these very low levels, hierarchies and meshworks work together,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they might, under certain conditions, self-assemble to
mm-hmm.
form a more dynamic process that kind of moves up in complexity
mm-hmm.
To a higher degree on say, the social strata. And so when you're saying that, you know, for example, you've got a bunch of old ladies sitting on the street in a hutong with red armbands on, keeping an eye on things, you know, that is a particular form of control. Yet, again, on a micro level, there are obviously various ways to move through that. But that little assembly on the street level turns into a more complex network of uniformed people around Beijing, which ties into administrative bureaucracies, but which themselves have these incredible inefficiencies and gaps and noises and cracks and leaks, etc., that we can move through. And so there's this continual back and forth and interplay, and I would really suggest that his work in that sense, for kind of outlining this very dynamic theory of how hierarchies and meshworks work together in biological and geological and then social systems.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 years of nonlinear history is fucking fantastic in that regard. But then I think for the thinking person such as yourself that looks to find new ways to resist, new ways to subvert, new ways to express, new ways to understand oneself, that provides a language for you then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, understanding these languages provide the language. And the thing is that I think it's already, you know, you're already intuiting it anyways.